Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Hey, in the 1970s, I was a major and assigned to the Army ROTC unit at Stanford University. ROTC was in the process of being thrown off campus due to the Vietnam War protests. While I was there, I earned a master's degree in education, so I'm a Stanford alumni. There was lots of nonsense going on there while I was there, but nothing compared to what's going on now. Get this. Stanford put out a new list of words it considers to be harmful language. The 13-page Elimination of Harmful Language Initiative includes words like immigrant, which should be replaced by person who has immigrated. It advises against saying walk-in hours in favor of open hours to avoid discriminating against and hurting the feelings of people with disabilities. Stanford wants us to drop the phrase beating a dead horse because it normalizes violence against animals. Under a section called imprecise language, the guide suggests replacing the term American with U.S. citizen. It explains American often refers to the people from the U.S. only, thereby insinuating that the U.S. is the most important country in the Americas. After all, North and South America contain 42 countries, and they have feelings too. The USA is the only nation in the world that has the word America as a part of its name. Do we have to dump the term United States of America in favor of United States of one of the 42 countries of the Americas? In baseball, we have a National League and, the American League. Goodbye to the American dream, All-American, All-American girl, American Idol, American exceptionalism, American Express, Amway, and certainly the expression, the American way. And even Superman's in trouble because he talks about the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. So that's the battle that we American soldiers haven't fought yet. Barf. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Welcome, Skip. What you doing to stay out of trouble?
Oh, Colonel. You know, I had all I could do to keep from laughing and crying while you were just reading about Stanford University. It's like these people are shameless and brainless simultaneously. It just boils my blood when I hear idiocy like that. What do you do, Colonel?
I don't know. I'm trying to get them to do push-ups, but they don't know what those are.
Okay. And there's probably something wrong with that, too. Who knows? They're just crazy.
Okay. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to talk about keeping our cities safe. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom, and we'll discuss the threat of China with Dr. Roger Canfield. Then Air Force vet Sean Meehan will introduce us to defend the Constitution, and we'll learn about recognizing dangerous individuals when we talk with Air Force vet Amanda Winters. And then Army vet Joe Anderson will share about his time in combat and the award he just received.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Okay, now is the time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll start with the news. I got a comment before you take it, Skip. The Secretary of Defense just announced that there's no more a requirement for the COVID jab. Let's see how quickly that is implemented and how thoroughly it's implemented. Okay, Skip, take us to the news.
Well, Colonel, a former U.S. Marine now held in Australia received more than $100,000 to train Chinese pilots. An indictment alleges Daniel Dugan, a naturalized Australian accused of providing military training to Chinese, is fighting extradition and maintains his innocence.
Well, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. But this looks like he was helping our enemy, China, get more combat ready so they could fight and defeat us. Ouch.
Russia's defense ministry said 89 servicemen were killed in a Ukrainian attack on Makivka in the Moscow-controlled parts of the Donetsk region, adding that the reason for the attack was the unauthorized use of mobile phones by the Russian troops. In another instance, emergency crews sifted through the rubble of a building struck by Ukrainian rockets, killing at least 63 Russian soldiers barracked there in the latest blow to the Kremlin's war strategy, as Ukraine says Moscow's tactics could be shifting. Russia's basic errors jeopardize its forces in Ukraine, military analysts say. For example, Cell phone use and storage of ammunition near troops are called indicative of poor discipline or poor thinking.
The Russian military is basically incompetent, and this is not new. Throughout history, they have fought wars by using overwhelming manpower and artillery, not tactics and maneuver. I do hope Ukraine can maintain their excellent resistance. Part of the issue is that we can't afford to keep pouring money on them.
It's reported that Chinese surveillance drones and a naval task force are operating around Okinawa. Japanese fighters have scrambled for the first time ever to intercept Chinese Soaring Eagle surveillance and drones operating earlier this month near Okinawa, according to Japan's military.
China is hostile and getting more hostile. I'm glad that Japan is responding. Our government had best recognize this and start responding in ways that our allies and enemies can see, but I really don't expect this to happen.
Further, Japan and the U.S. have held security talks between their foreign and defense ministers in Washington prior to the arrival of Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida as he wraps up his tour of the Group of Seven Nations as Tokyo expands its military and deepens its alliance with us amid China's growing hostile influence. Kishida visited France, Italy, Britain, and Canada ahead of his meeting with President Biden. The two leaders last met during a Group of 20 meeting in Bali, Indonesia, but Kishida's Washington visit will be his first as prime minister.
This is a good meeting. Japan is accepting its responsibility for its own security and helping its neighbors. Since our military is weakening, it's a good thing that Japan is stepping up.
And Congress is increasing pressure on the Navy to make changes to the environment sailors face when the ship they are assigned to is undergoing long periods of shipyard work. Responding to the details revealed in the recently released investigation into three suicides aboard the aircraft carrier USS George Washington, Senators Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal, both Democrats from Connecticut, announced that they have written to Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro to demand change. Quote, "The senators are calling on the Navy to go further than the recommendations made in the investigation report released last month and to reform requirements governing the shipyard lives of sailors," unquote. The letter highlights both the hazardous and noisy living conditions on the ship, as well as a struggle to access mental health care and help, something the Navy's investigation detailed. There were at least six suicides by sailors assigned to the George Washington in under a year, and nine in total since November 2019. Quote, "It is completely intolerable for the Navy to place sailors on board a ship with these conditions and tremendous barriers to accessing care and support," the letter said. "The Navy must immediately reform regulations to establish unwaivable requirements for manning, screening, and access to mental health care during long periods of shipyard maintenance."
Folks, this has to do with leadership. Good leaders will not put up with unsatisfactory environments of any kind. The problem is our nation's military, including the Navy, is lacking good senior leaders. In prior years, we had these same ships and the same shipyards with virtually no suicides. I wonder what changed.
And the National Inventors Hall of Fame has recognized Rory Cooper in the area of wheelchair technology. Biomedical engineer Cooper's innovations have improved manual and electric wheelchairs and advanced the health, mobility, and social inclusion of people with disabilities and older adults. His research has been informed by his own experience as a disabled U.S. Army veteran.
Fantastic. Frontlines of Freedom salutes Army vet Rory Cooper for making life better for many injured people. Thank you, Rory, for your continued service to our nation. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Next, we'll talk China with Dr. Roger Canfield. At ease, troops, take a break. Troops, if you ever have to defend yourself or your family with your firearm, you'll need legal representation. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They provide the best self-defense insurance that I've found. They recommend that you not even talk to the police without an attorney present. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable rate. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, your front door is the number one preferred entry point for home invaders. On average, it takes 5 seconds to break down your solid steel security door. To prevent this, reinforce your door frame by doubling the 2x4s and by using longer, case-hardened screws to attach the hinges to the door frame. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Fresh, flash, frozen, from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because people are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers, and I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Folks, if you haven't noticed, our nation is getting much more dangerous. Violent crime is way up almost everywhere. There are at least two major contributing factors. The first is the total idiotic defund the police movement. Police officers put their lives on the line every day to protect people they don't even know. Yes, they're imperfect. They do make mistakes, but the mistakes are rare and they do keep us safe. And most of us know that. The major problem here is city mayors and council members who actually control and fund the police and who elect not to do so. Virtually all of the damage and death caused by violence is, in my opinion, their fault. The millions of illegal aliens flooding into our nation certainly contribute to the problem. Hey, if a person comes into our nation illegally, why on earth do we think they'd suddenly become law-abiding citizens? Okay, many of them probably do want to be good citizens, as long as we take care of them. But a very good number of them are already criminals or terrorists or are willing to go violent to get what they want. And our government seems to be trying to bring in more and more of these people into our nation. Oh, and we do have foolish ideas for controlling violence. While gun control activists often cite mass shooting incidents in advancing their calls for outlawing certain rifles, handguns are responsible for a staggering number of homicides in cities across the nation, particularly in big cities, cities that are reducing their police forces. This was the conclusion of a recent Brown University study in which researchers determined that young men living in certain sections of Chicago and Philadelphia are more likely to be killed by gun violence than soldiers who fought in the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. In Philadelphia's most violent zip code, the report found, young men were almost two times more likely to be fatally shot than our soldiers in Afghanistan. One Chicago zip code had even more dismal statistics, with young men between the ages of 18 and 29 over three times more likely to be the victim of gun-related homicide than soldiers serving in Afghanistan would suffer a combat death. The Philadelphia results were on a par with the rate of combat deaths among Iraqi war veterans, and Chicago remained significantly higher. Data from the two other big cities were included in the study, that's Los Angeles and New York City, and those did not reveal neighborhoods where gun violence was on a par or greater than the rate of combat deaths. There was one factor that was consistent across all four cities. A staggering 96% of gun violence among young men impacted Black and Hispanic individuals. Dr. Brandon Del Pozo, who was a co-author of the report, indicated that his motivation for becoming involved in the study was to use hard facts to break through the partisan rhetoric that frequently defines debates about gun violence. Quote, "We often hear opposing sides about gun violence that fall along partisan lines," he said. "One is that big cities are war zones that require severe crackdowns on crime. The other is that our fears about homicides are greatly exaggerated and don't require drastic action," end quote. In reality, Del Pozo concluded the truth lies somewhere in the middle. quote, while most city residents are relatively safe from gun violence, the risks are more severe than war for some demographics, he explained. The report offered some insight into the crime disparities between the communities across the nation, but some critics have pointed out that it excludes other common types of violent crime. As Selwyn Duke wrote in The New American, quote, don't these war zone areas also have greater knife violence, fist violence, and foot violence? As to the last two, note that more Americans are killed with personal weapons, hands, fists, and feet, and with rifles of any kind, according to the FBI. So I can assure you that it's not guns that are the problem. I personally own several, and I've never had one of them fire a bullet on its own. No, it only happens when I pull the trigger. We don't try to ban cars when there are a number of traffic deaths. No, it's not the car's fault. It's the driver. I'm in my 80s, and while I'm in pretty good shape, a strong young man can probably beat me in a fight. But I often carry a pistol, so I'm protected, as is everyone around me. The more citizens we have who are both properly trained and well-armed moving around our cities, the safer we all are. Folks, none of us want our cities or our neighborhoods to be as dangerous as a battlefield. Heck, I've been in battles on battlefields. I don't want to live anywhere that is 1% as dangerous as a battlefield. I do encourage those who feel capable to get trained and get armed so that they can protect themselves and others. But we can all stand up for our police and hold our city councils responsible for strong support for our police. We military people didn't defend our nation so we could come home to a battlefield. Let us demand safe communities and insist that all elected officials stand for them too. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now it's time for some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
So there's a fire joke out there about Marines eating crayons. And when did this all start? If you've spent any time in around the U.S. military in the last decade, you've probably heard some variation of it, whether it's that a Marine doesn't know what else to do with crayons or perhaps just like the taste. Give a Marine a box of Crayolas, from pine green to periwinkle to radical red, and they'll end up in their stomach before too long. This meme seems like it's everywhere nowadays, and social media is filled with mostly self-deprecating references to Marines being crayon eaters. And not just one, but multiple Marine veterans have started lines of edible crayons. The Marine Corps even produced a video in 2018 making light of the joke for National Crayon Day. Whether you like it, resent it, or embrace it, the joke has become a fixture in modern-day U.S. military culture. But like many widely shared military memes, this particular joke seems to have emerged out of thin air. Just as in World War II, Kilroy was one day simply here and then everywhere, it seems like Marines were just one day known as crayon eaters. So the website Task and Purpose decided to try to find out the origins of this joke. What they found was that the joke was likely a relatively recent invention of the modern military corps. It started probably around 2010 when Pinterest wished the Marine Corps a happy birthday with a picture of a crayon cake. From there, phrases like Marines eat crayons or Marine are crayon eaters started showing up on social media. Then around 2015-2016, the United States Marine Corps' official Facebook page posted a joke that some Army guys had given an MRE to a Marine, and it was just crayons, and the Marine just started eating them. And after that, it just went viral. You know, humor is, of course, subjective. However, a joke that spreads this quickly must have at least some truth to it. I've been called a puddle pirate since my first days in the Coast Guard over 30 years ago. Where did that come from? But the crayon eating joke seems to be a relatively new thing. But like all things that go viral, I bet this one sticks for a while. So now I know what I'll be getting Marine Vet co-host Skip as a gift this year. Just need to do a quick Google search on edible crayons. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciate that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss China with Dr. Roger Canfield. Then we'll talk Guard the Constitution with Air Force vet Sean Meehan. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break and do another 50, then stand at ease.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, We fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Roger Canfield. Roger's a former GOP nominee for Congress, a longtime conservative activist, a candidate, a political consultant, a newspaper columnist, and more and more and more. He was also the founding executive director of the U.S. Intelligence Council, a private nonprofit agency group. That was like 35 years ago. Oh, and even served in the U.S. Navy. He's published 5 books on the political influence and intelligence operations of communist China inside the USA. This guy knows the threats to America, particularly those relating to China. So welcome aboard, Roger. That's what you're supposed to say to sailors, right? Welcome aboard.
Yes. My father fell off his ship during World War II into the water, and he came back aboard, and they said he couldn't come aboard because he was wet.
Okay. Roger, while we're talking about Navy, talk about your time in the Navy. Why did you join? What did you do?
Well, I had a little dust up with my father, only time in our whole career, but I was 17 and wild, and I was a good student, but I quit high school and ran away, and I worked during the summer, and I didn't find any real long-term career opportunities there, and I joined the Navy. And of course, my father had been in the Navy in World War II, so he'd been a Navy brat growing up, so it was easy enough to adjust to, the life, except for the authority. I never got real good with that, but otherwise.
Well, when you're a young man and know everything, that's sort of a deal. What did you do in the Navy?
Oh, I was a Navy electronics technician on Phantom 4 jets, and I did bench testing for missiles.
Well, it must have been fun and interesting.
It was. I found the work technically very, very interesting and valuable, and I knew it was important to the nation's security. And I thought the Navy at the time was a little lazy, but on the national security side. But anyway, the work was extraordinarily important, and I understood it that way.
That's cool. And that, apparently, you did a little maturing while you're in the Navy, because you started getting pretty productive when you got out, right?
Yeah, and in fact, while I was there, I ended up doing a year of college, and I made rank E5 rather quickly, and they offered me to go to Pensacola and be a flyer, but that would probably kill me and ruined a couple of planes, so I decided to go back to college.
Hey, it pays to know what you're not good at, too.
Oh, that's for sure. I scored very poorly on the mechanical exam, and they still wanted to send me to Pensacola. I mean, they were desperate, I guess.
Well, I'm glad that you survived all of that.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to China. You've written a number of books, 5, I think, on China. And China is a huge threat to our nation. And matter of fact, it's a huge threat to every nation in the world, I think. You could add up all the threats of all the other nations, Russia, Iran, and they don't come close to what China is. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it's, of course, it's been a problem since October of 1917 in the Soviet Union. And Stalin and the U.S. Communist Party began training the Chinese communists in 1920 or so. And they were very, very successful in recruiting Americans, literati and, elitist to think nice things about China, and then that, nothing wrong with that, but about the communists. And communists were, you know, just agrarian reformers, just want to improve the agriculture. Of course, that was never true anywhere that it was ever tried. And when they did, they usually murdered a lot of people. In the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolution. And so...
Well, and one of the things that's very clear in China has never been anything even remotely coming close to a democracy. The will of the people is, as I understand their history, never been important. It's the ruling class or the ruling individuals, and it's all about them, and they have all the power.
That's always been the case.
That makes me wonder, why would anybody want to live in China? And of course, you have to know what you're dealing with, don't you?
Well, visions of sugar plums in their heads. People got deluded by the notion that they could make a lot of money, and they're turning their heads on slavery and genocide and organ replacements and all that. It was a moral deficiency of people that, you know, I guess it's a part of human nature. And people were seduced by cash and probably a lot more over a long period of time.
Yes. And certainly it's clear that China is taking organs from some of their people just to sell them or to use them however they want to. To me, that's evil, but that evil is very, not totally, but very much directed towards the United States. They've penetrated our nation in so many different ways. I'm not sure we can even keep track of how many ways, and yet we're acting like it's okay and it's cool. How did that happen?
Well, it's long-term political influence operations by communists is a century old. And they were able to recruit all these Americans and others who were open to that. And of course, they're very, very, very skilled at influence operations. In fact, there's a recent book come out by an Australian named Majowski. It's called Spies and Lies. And it tells how the approach was one of friendship and camaraderie, and recruited just, well, I'd say tens of thousands versus the, you know, Soviet Union maybe had 1,000 or so that were really affected. I mean, they're important people, that literati, as I say, but they had a plan, and most recently in the modern era, unrestricted warfare could use any and all means possible. And a great number of books have been written about all the different kinds of warfare that they're conducting. But the unrestricted part means anything and everything is legit as part of the warfare. In fact, well, the key thing recently, my most recent book, Make Red China Pay, How Red China Biological and Chemical Weapons Murdered a Million Americans and Shut Down Our Economy. That of course, is the COVID virus from Wuhan and the fentanyl. And how, you know, if that isn't war, what isn't?
You know, that's very true. I have no idea, and I don't know anybody that knows for sure, if China created the COVID as a weapon or whether it was just something that occurred while they were doing other kinds of research.
It's kind of a remarkable coincidence, because
yes,
they've certainly been conducting biological weapons research at the same time. The Korean War, they accused us of it, which was false. But they've been doing it for years. And it so happened that some of those activities were occurring in Wuhan. And when the crisis occurred, the people who were put in charge of taking care of the crisis at Wuhan were military people. And so there's increasing suggestions that it was, in fact, could have been some probability of being a biological weapons activity. In any case, they did intentionally spread it.
Yes.
Around the world. And whether or not that was thought of, done in, whether it was a leak, accidental, or intention, releasing was itself intentional, but certainly after the fact it was.
Yes, sir. Whether it was created on purpose or not, it was, once it was discovered that they had it, it became a weapon. There's more to discuss about China and their use of weapons against us, and Roger's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, thanks for joining us for push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do most days. So do the push-ups, stay in the area. Roger and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is our final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Roger Canfield about China. Roger, China has invaded our nation in so many different ways. They're in our education programs, K to 12 and in colleges. They're in our industry. They've got people who are, if not in our government, at least working for people who are in our government. They've really penetrated our nation, haven't they?
It's hard to find a place where they haven't. And if you look at the biographies of the Biden team, it's very, very clear that there's strong ties to China among almost all the top people. Recently, we had a story about the Biden, the Penn Center, and how that there were some secret documents there. Well, it turns out the Penn Center was run by Antony Blinken, who's now Secretary of State.
Okay.
And that part, I have not heard on the news that Blinken was there running the Penn Center at the time that these documents allegedly suddenly discovered after the election, of course.
After the election, of course. Roger, how did they get into our colleges and universities? How did that happen?
Well, that was a little easier because the left has been making progress in the academic world for decades. I think it got really bad. I think the anti-war movement in Vietnam upped the ante of the hate America, blame America crowd, and they all went to work in universities. And so a lot of the people that were involved then, those are still alive, are active today. They were involved in progressives for Obama, and so that occurred there. There's always a softness on the left toward communism because those folks tended toward, I won't call it liberalism, I don't think there's any such thing left, but progressive socialist and communist ideas. They had this delusion about utopia on earth since they disdained and attacked God and any religious thing. So they had to find their little heaven on earth, and communism told the biggest lies, and they were able to exploit the egos of some rather bright people who, you know, might have some great intelligence and relates to physics or literature, but know nothing about the world they live in, but they think they have attitudes of moral superiority, and And so they think they know something about international relations and that kind of thing.
Okay. And because I think there's an awful lot of universities that have like Chinese studies departments and...
Oh, yes. Virtually everywhere. Harvard is particularly bad. So is Yale. And it's just a very, very long list. My latest book is on page 500 now, and I've listed all the universities and all the China centers and all the professors that are involved. And that's why the things I write, except for the Red China Pay, are so long. I want history to know who the people were and who the organizations were, and it's important.
Well, it is, and that's also where the K-12 teachers are getting educated at the universities, and they're taking that back down to the K-12 programs.
And the K-12 begins with John Dewey, who went to Stalin's Russia and saw all the indoctrination there, and he thought it was just absolutely wonderful because the collectivist view, it was taking the good of the greatest number of the collective over the selfishness of the individual. And so he brought all that back. John Dewey brought it all back to America. And he was the most important reformer, so-called reformer, of American education system. And that's when we lost civics. That's when we lost our understanding of the Declaration and the Constitution and the Civil War and Lincoln and all the great things that our nation has done.
Yes. Got time for one more topic, and that is, we sent an awful lot of our manufacturing to China, and that gives them serious control. I mean, some of our medication we can't get from anywhere but China. Some of the parts for our military stuff we can't get from anywhere but China. How do you declare war on somebody that you need to stay alive? Why do we do that?
Well, it's already done, and I don't. It's all true what you said, and the two-bit word that's used is decouple our economy. We can't depend upon slave labor to produce these things for us, but we have become, and we've got to change that.
Yep, and apparently we did it because we thought if we did business with them, that would liberalize them, and they'd become more like we are, except they didn't and aren't. And
we become more like them.
Yeah.
We gave them the technology of surveillance and censorship and artificial intelligence and all that stuff to improve their technological tyranny. And then once it was perfected, these corporations, these tech people brought this same stuff back to America, and we saw it during the scamdemic that shut down our life, liberty, and happiness.
Yeah. Roger, before I let you go, you've written several books, I think five, on China. Talk about at least one or two of them and how people can get copies.
Well, yeah, China's Trojan Horses, China Doll, Stealth Invasion, What China Got for Its Money, and of course the more recent one is Make Red China Pay. And you can people can get a free copy of that by writing a letter, a free copy of that book, to Fulfillment, P.O. Box 820. Fulfillment, P.O. Box 820, Stewart's Draft, Virginia, 24477. Stewart's Draft, Virginia, 24477. And please just put a note, say you want a copy of the book, Make Red China Pay, and it will be sent to you. And of course, you can find my other books up by just looking up my name and the author at the Amazon author. Has the best place where I get the cash directly.
Yeah.
What there is of it. So,
That's great. Is there a point or two you'd like to make sure our listeners take away from our talk today? Any key point you'd like to make before we close up?
Talk to your elected representatives and to your local bureaucrats about the China issue as it affects you and all the rest of us. We need to wake up. Our time is short. It may even be too late, but we don't know. We have to do what we have to do. And let people know that you know that there is such a thing as a China threat. My 17-year-old mother had a scrapbook of World War II and a diary. And she died young, but that young lady, my mother, knew there was a war coming. And she knew she was alert. She was an Indiana farm girl. And my father was a Minnesota sailor. And we could all be like that.
Roger, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for all the books you have written and the research you're continuing to do, because we need to get the word out. And we need to know what we're talking about when we talk to our congressmen and senators and other people about getting China out of our country and keeping them out. And your books and your information is really key to that. Thank you for joining us today, my friend.
Thank you, Denny.
Okay, this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking about Guard the Constitution with Sean Meehan. That's quite a story. Then we'll learn about recognizing threats early. I don't know the way to put it. You just got to listen to it and find out about it. Then Joe Anderson will discuss the platoon he led in Vietnam and the honor he recently received. Another amazing story. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It is time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.